You remember David of old, the old patriarch, he encouraged himself in the Lord. And I'll tell you this, you can always go to the Lord for some encouragement. How many of you would be honest in saying, you can lift your hand or say amen, I need a little encouragement right now? Amen. All right, that's quite a few people. Hey, the Bible says as the preacher preaches, he's supposed to reprove, rebuke, but he says exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. So we need it all. And so my heart is tonight to be an encouragement. That's the title of the message. Be encouraged tonight. So in Philippians chapter 4, look in verse 4. Rejoice, rejoice in the Lord, what? Always. And again I say, rejoice. Now wait a minute, Paul's in a dungeon. He's in a deep, dark cell, prison cell in Rome. And so he's saying, rejoice. Now if he can do that, friends, we need to listen. Amen? We can rejoice in Jesus because it's not based upon circumstances. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known, who? Unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You may be seated. Like one person said, do me a big favor. Can you smile at me? I'll try to smile back, okay? But, you know, smiling helps. It really does. Smile a while and give your face a break. Or is it give your face a rest? We used to sing that, you know, at church. Smile a while and give your face a... Is it rest or break? Anyway, it does help. When you need some encouragement. So be encouraged. I think I'd like to start, first of all, first point, up in chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto this His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Be encouraged because Jesus is coming soon, friends. Our bodies are going to be changed. Hold your ribbon here. Put your paper here. Put your finger here and go to Thessalonians. This is the rapture, the actual rapture. The word rapture is not used in the Bible, but His coming is shown forth. And here it is. This is what you call the rapture chapter in 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 11, and that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. That'll keep you out of trouble right there. That ye may walk honestly toward them that are without and that ye may have lack of nothing. Now let's read this together, verse 13 through 18, and try to focus in on what God is saying here. Ready? Here we go. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Friends, if you know Jesus Christ, you have a comfort. You have a comfort that He's coming back, and He says, it's by the word of the Lord. I was pumping my gas in California one time, and a guy leaned over and said, you know Trump's in the Bible? I said, what? He said, yeah, in California, Trump's in the Bible. And he quoted this, and the trump of the Lord shall sound. But over in Corinthians, Go to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15. This is the nursery verse passage that they put in the nursery. Okay. You know where I'm going. You know what I'm talking about. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's pick it up in verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Here I go. I'll read it. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That's the nursery verse. But we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's good news right there. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Friends, don't throw in a towel. Don't quit. Hey, be encouraged. The Lord's coming back. And whatever we do for the Lord, it's not in vain, okay? Whatever it is. When you come to an old-fashioned altar and pray for a lost soul. By the way, we're supposed to get new carpets. We bought these ones at Costco, and they were sliding all over the place. I'm afraid somebody was going to trip. We put this carpet tape, went to Ace Hardware and bought carpet tape to put underneath those rugs, and they just slid even more, you know. So the tape didn't work. But hopefully some are coming Friday, and they've got rubber backing. No skid, amen, no skid. So we'll see how that works. But every time you come and pray at the altar, you don't even have to kneel. Just come up here and stand. It's wonderful. That's what these altars are for. Amen. Be encouraged. Come to an altar and pray for people, for things, whatever you need. And so be encouraged. The Lord is coming back soon. We can pray about things. Aren't you glad we can pray about things? Go back to Philippians chapter 4. And there it is right in the scripture. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful. The word means anxious. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You know, if you have something on your heart that's a burden or a care or some type of anxious worry, I would encourage you, if the Lord speaks to you, you don't do it because of me, but if the Lord tells you to do it, come to an old-fashioned altar before you get out of here tonight and just talk to Him about it. You shouldn't care what people think about you coming to an old-fashioned altar. Jesus never hesitated to have an invitation. What did He say in Matthew 11, 28? He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And He said, take my yoke upon you, on you because my yoke is easy. And you can find rest for your souls in Jesus. Be encouraged that we can pray about things and find peace in verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, I want to be an encouragement, but Brother John Kingsmore said, I've been praying for your boldness, Pastor. So be bold tonight, okay? Be bold. So I'll be bold in trying to encourage you. And I appreciate your prayers, Brother Kingsmore. I appreciate all your prayers because prayer works. Amen. Prayer works. Number 3, be encouraged and stay focused. Be encouraged and stay focused. Philippians 4:8. The Bible says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. We need to focus on true things. Is anybody breathing in here? Yes. I used to say that all the time, didn't I? Are you breathing? I used to say it all the time when I was preaching, but you know, it's true. We need to stay focused on things that are true. This is true right here. Hey, by the way, these characteristics, these attributes, if you will, these words, precious words, they all fit Jesus, don't they? He is the way, the truth, and the life. But think on things that are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. Oh, he's so pure. He is the purest. He's the lily of the valley. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, you can get in a rut. My wife and I took a walk this morning before we got out here to the church. And, you know, if you're not careful, you can start looking for things that are wrong, that are broke, that are messed up. And you can get in that rut of complaining and being negative. Okay, that's... wonder why they don't... Here, I'm giving you an example right here. Why don't they fix these trees that are fell over? You know, hey, what about these sprinkler heads? It's just broke. It's gushing. I mean, this... Don't they... We pay a big HO... Hey, don't they have people in these landscapes? I mean, if you're not careful, if you don't have the blinders on, if you don't stay focused, you can get discouraged. You need to find something. Well, there's a beautiful flower. There's God's hummingbird. Hey, shift the focus, amen, from being negative and be encouraged and be thankful. Be thankful for the good things, you know. Well, just don't even say anything, you know. We used to, hey, stay in your lane. Is anybody breathing here? Hey, in the Army, we called it AO. This is your AO, area of operation. That's what we said in the Army. You know, we've got enough in our own area of operation that we need to just take care of, that we don't need to be complaining about this and that and everything else under the sun, or you will be discouraged. So I'm trying to help you to be encouraged. Remember, Jesus is coming soon. Pray about everything. Stay focused. Stay locked. Think on these things and put the blinders on. Keep heaven in view. Amen. The judgment seat in view. And then number four, be encouraged and stay a giver. If you learn and study Philippians 4, it's in a missionary context. It really is. Paul's a missionary. He took missionary journeys. And we need to stay a giver because there's joy in giving. Not just money, but being a giver of your time, a giver of your service, of your sacrifice, and all of that. But being a giver, let the Lord work through you to give. And I know I'm preaching to the choir a lot here because you folks are a giver. Maybe there's one person that's not a giver. They don't understand how the Lord blesses and helps, and He just helps you so much when you're a giver. But look at Philippians 4, 10 through 19. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And some of you folks know you've learned what contentment is all about, right? And it's wonderful to be content, at peace and not always coveting and going here and going there. But it's wonderful to be content. By the way, it's wonderful to be debt-free on your building and your property. That's a blessing. But it says here, I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. His hope was in God. His hope was in the mighty creator of the universe. Yes, he's in prison, but he's still rejoicing and he's still content and thankful. He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Watch this. But ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. That's why I love a mission conference, folks, because it gets your eyes off of yourself and it gets them on the Great Commission. By the way, the Great Commission is still great. Amen. It's still God's plan, God's word, to go throughout the world and preach the gospel. Go ye to every creature, he says. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. And verse 18, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And I like this verse. You know, people don't know what's going to happen with the shutdown. But I can promise you, I can tell you, Philippians 4:19 is still in the book. And it's still real. And it's still mighty. And you can rest in it. He says, My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It's still true today, isn't it, folks? It's not going to exhaust. It's inexhaustible because it's based upon Jesus Christ. I can tell you in my life, God has been faithful, folks, throughout all my 66 years. He's been faithful. He's never let me go hungry, unless I wanted to go hungry. Amen. And you can be encouraged and stay encouraged because He blesses. He promises to bless you. Kind of like in the Bible with Elijah, and then, you know, those stories in the Old Testament where the oil stayed. I mean, the oil would be poured out into the vessels, and it would have kept, if they had had more vessels, it would have just kept coming. And the wine, water made to wine, and they poured it out. You know, Jesus did that miracle. Well, that's the way it is with God. He'll just keep pouring out His blessings. I like the illustration that one preacher gives. He talks about a conduit, you know, a pipe, if you will. And if the cap is not on the end of the conduit, and when the water flows through that conduit, it'll just keep flowing. And see, our life is a conduit, if you will. And if you'll just put your hands out, Lord, whatever you want to give me, and just give, be a joyful giver, He'll just keep supplying it. It won't run out. But if you stop giving in the lean years, put the cap on it, then you can't be blessed. And so I really appreciate how God just keeps on blessing, even in the hard times, even in the lean years. Paul knew about that, and he encouraged them and says, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Here he is in prison, and he's given praise. Look at Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. He's looking for the coming of the Lord. He's looking at Jesus. He's got his mind focused. And then 4:10 says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. You say, how are we going to be able to be a blessing at the missions conference? Just let the Lord do it. Amen. Let the Lord have His way. It's very simple at a missions conference. How to have a successful mission conference? Here it is, right here. Everybody doing something, and everybody doing more than they've ever done. That's as simple as it comes. And you know what? My God shall supply your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So Paul realized this. He could draw strength from his Savior. 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheth me. Some of you need to be encouraged. You need encouragement in your life. You believe God can do it? I can do all things through Christ. Yes, He can help you because He's Almighty God and His supply is inexhaustible. Why was Paul rejoicing? Because there's still joy in serving and giving and in sacrificing. I just can't tell you how much I'm excited about this mission conference. Jim Rogenkamp and his wife. I mean, for years he wasn't married. He kind of married a little late. And now they have 5 kids, 4 boys, 1 little girl. They'll be here with us. I didn't know this, but he said, well, I was just in your area, but we were running and didn't have time. He was right up here at the stadium, the State Farm Stadium. He said his wife is related to Charlie Kirk. I didn't know that, but he's in Oklahoma right now, I think. Pray for his son. Pray for Matthew. He's getting that plate removed. But Jim is just such a great man. David Combs, I mean, what a veteran. Mexico City, one of the largest cities in the world, and he's been there for years. Jim and David, I mean, they're Americans, not really from Mexico, but David being in Texas and Jim being in the hills, the mountains of Sahuarita, I think that's where it's at. Listen, they're more Mexican than they are anything else. So they know how to speak that Spanish, and they know how the customs and the culture. I would ask you to pray for some Spanish people to come, maybe that's not saved, if you know they speak Spanish from other countries. I don't know. These two men and these ladies will be a great blessing to the Spanish speaking, not only in our church, but visitors. So be rounding them up for that. And then Nathan going to Botswana and his wife, what a testimony. I don't know if I should say anything at all about her testimony so I don't surprise. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but he was giving me that testimony, and she was right there listening on the phone and speaking. But her testimony will blow your mind, how she's even alive today and now brought them together, Nathan and her, and going to the mission field. So that is just such a blessing. And so I'm looking forward to it. All right. It's the biggest thing we can do. Why? It gets our eyes off ourselves. And when you get involved in that and you start praying for that and you love these missionaries and hear their stories, it will encourage you. Amen? Are you breathing? So God has not forgotten you. And it's time to quit. But remember this. He doesn't forget. Go to Psalms 37, and we'll close with this passage. Be encouraged tonight, church. God's moving. He's working. I feel good. I'm excited. Remember when I was in Guam preaching at missions conference, Larry, and they gave me some of those happy muffins. And the lady said, oh, these are real healthy muffins, homemade muffins. And I'd eat one of those things. And man, it would just lit. I felt good. And they just got so excited that I love their muffins. But, you know, be encouraged. There's a lot of good things happening. Okay, Psalm, are you there? Look, Psalm 37. There it is. Let's start with verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Here it is, folks, for maybe somebody needing some encouragement. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. You don't have to worry tonight. You don't have to worry. God's in control. And He's going to take care of you. He's going to feed you. And do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land. Verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You know, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And He'll give you your desires if they're right desires and if it's God's will. So I'm telling you, you can ask Him for things. The desires of your heart. There's some things you don't even need to ask Him, do you? Well, should I be saved, Lord? Is it your will for me to be saved? Absolutely. He's not willing that any should perish. Amen. But that all should come to repentance. But we can trust Him. And it says in verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. You know, a lot of people talking about cancer and things. Pray for me. I remember when I had that little cancer scare and God took it all away. By the way, God can take it away. Amen. But I had a peace about it. I had a total peace about it. Man, it took about 2 months to get the final results on that. And we went from Prescott down to here and over there in North Phoenix. And finally said, the doctor wants to tell you the results. So we were sitting in there folks, I'm telling you the truth. I had a total peace. Really, wasn't sweating at all. Hey, don't threaten me with heaven, amen. Don't threaten me with that, because I'm ready to go. And that's life, you know. But the doctors came in, two of them came in. Kathy's sitting right there. Mr. Hardesty, they did 18 sample biopsies. That's the second biopsy on my prostate. He said, I've got the papers here, and he had all these papers where they did the biopsy, 18 of them, no cancer. I was already at peace. Didn't matter if they said every one of them was cancer. But you know what? I'm so thankful. To God be the glory. Amen. Those two doctors got a track. But I'm so thankful that we can have that peace in the Lord. So be encouraged tonight. God has not forgotten you. And then over here a little bit, verse 23. Look at Psalm 37:23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Let's read verse 25. I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful, and lendeth, and his seed is blessed,